You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Chinese spies are cultivating politicians all across America today as we speak. And I don't just mean senators and congressmen. I mean state legislators and county commissioners and city councilmen, as Eric Swalwell was apparently targeted when he was in local office, because China plays the long game and it is looking to cultivate people who might rise to higher office in this country. The same way they cultivate young scholars or recruit spies on campuses or in tech or other critical industries. The China threat is real and it is pervasive in our country.
December the 17th, 2020, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton regarding Congressman Eric Swalwell, California, saying that they were cultivating him, they were grooming him. And we also have questions, of course, about Hunter Biden. Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairman Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, says, I think that's exactly what they were also doing with Hunter Biden. They groomed Eric Swalwell, and they were grooming Hunter Biden and any of his connections to his father. And how China spies have been operating throughout our nation and continue to this very moment, we may find out tomorrow, someone else being exposed. We may not find out for a year, 5 years. We may not find out until they are elected to the Oval Office. This is a very real and imminent threat, because as you heard Senator Cotton say, the Chinese play the long game. And he's correct about Congressman Swalwell. He was just a city councilman in California when this beautiful young Chinese woman made friends with him 10 years ago. And making a relationship and building on the relationship. And he wasn't the only one she was seeing, according to the FBI records and tapes. They say they've got tapes of her having sexual relations with a couple of Midwest mayors. They have not identified who they are, and they have not said that they've got such video of Swalwell. Now, Swalwell, once he heard that she was apparently having sex with these two Midwest mayors, he might be saying, Oh, hey, I didn't get anything like that. We're going to get into that in more detail over the next 2 hours. And for those of you who do not think there was any fraud in this election, no fraud whatsoever, the numbers are staggering. And you explain to me how dead people vote. And you explain to me that someone, I didn't know I couldn't vote twice. Or that I don't have to live somewhere. I could just put down a city bus station and say I live there. But the question is, what is going to be done, what can be done in these closing days? And we'll get into that in the first hour. And, of course, the update on COVID. The word coming down now that Vice President Pence tomorrow will be getting his vaccine live TV. And I think Joe Biden is scheduled for the next day, maybe next week. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure Trump's scheduled at this point. But Dr. Fauci is saying we still are battling COVID the way we are, and I blame the American spirit. The American spirit. Entrepreneurship, freedom, free enterprise, making your own decision, not bowing down to Big Brother. By the way, a majority of likely American voters, a new Rasmussen survey says, the Great Reset between the U.S. and the rest of the world that they're expecting with a Biden presidency or Harris presidency, most Americans oppose it. We'll get into that. And Kamala does a little video about the first thing she wants to do when she gets into office. Kind of funny to some extent, but also extremely serious, because she's already resetting things. And then Tucker Carlson jumped in on the story about Dr. Jill Biden. She's not a doctor in a medical doctor sense. And she got upset, and others were upset because she wasn't being called doctor when she thinks I have a doctor's degree, not a PhD, but I have a doctorate's degree. We'll have some fun with that. And also, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, when we keep hearing from the Biden team, let's all kind of come together. She's referring, Hillary is referring, and upset with Republicans who don't like the incoming Deputy Chief of Staff, Jennifer O'Malley Dillon. And Hillary Clinton is calling you Republicans, you Trump supporters, you're a bunch of effers. Her words, you're a bunch of effers. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's sort of Obama, Rahm Emanuel's playbook. They took the crisis of COVID and then they changed election law. But they changed election law not by changing the law at the state legislature. They had secretaries of state and or governors simply by fiat changed the law to say, oh, you can keep counting votes when the law didn't say that. So this election really was stolen in a way, and it was stolen because what happened is people changed the law. How can you change the law without asking the state legislature to do this? And I'm disappointed that the courts haven't heard it.
Those are the words of Senator Rand Paul, Republican, Kentucky. And he says in his belief that this election was stolen. I know you've heard and seen hashtag stop the steal, which Twitter and Facebook shut down every time they get a chance. Every time I even post something on this radio page at Larry Connors USA Facebook, and I put something up about the election, and I might just be pointing out allegations because I don't have proof. I'm just saying these allegations are there. Well, immediately something pops up on the Facebook page telling the readers, go to this source for full information about the 2020 election. I don't have any problem with you doing that. I want you to be informed. You don't have to take my word for anything. You shouldn't take my word for anything unless you know that I'm speaking the truth. And if you have any doubts, check it out. That's what you should be doing. My job, even though I'm at this position, no longer a news anchor, and trying to be just straight down the line, not showing any bias. I clearly show bias and opinion and comments on this program. It's my program. I make it clear it is. I'm not claiming to be, quote, a journalist. And yet at the same time, for 50-plus years in that side of the business, I have that basic fabric that I want to make sure you get both sides of the story, or at least make sure you understand that when I'm giving you something, it might be my opinion, not a fact. Now, Rand Paul was talking about how states had gone outside their legislatures. Judge Kenneth Starr, yesterday, telling the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee the same thing. He said, we have seen a case here where states went outside their legislatures to change election laws and procedures, and that probably violated U.S. Constitution. He said, I think the Bush v. Gore case stands for this basic proposition. You cannot have changes in election laws after the fact. You must, in fact, be faithful to what the state legislature has done. Now, of course, Kenneth Starr was an independent counsel that led to the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. And Starr did defend Donald Trump at his impeachment trial earlier this year. I want you to know the background. I have no problem with you understanding and knowing the background. But what are you saying? If you're going to ensure honesty and integrity in elections, you've got to have guardrails. That would be the text of the Constitution. And if you think there were no illegal ballots cast, then you got to explain to me. I really want to know this. Just explain to me how dead people vote. I just want to know. Well, Larry, sometimes they're not really dead. Well, if they're not really dead, then they're not dead people. But dead people really don't vote, do they? Are we talking about zombies? Really? The Georgia Secretary of State the other day, a Republican, said that he suspected 1,000 people of double voting in his state. So we got dead people voting, we got double voting. Some they say, double voters might have cast a ballot in person because they didn't think their absentee ballots would count. Well, if you're not verifying and double-checking and cross-checking, then, yeah, they ended up voting twice. They got the opportunity to do so. Maybe they did not intend. Some might not have intended, but it ended up that way. And then some know exactly what they did. They voted in one state and went over to the other state because they still had a residence and had a ballot application for that state, and they voted there. They knew what they were doing. I don't know of anybody rising from the grave to go vote, but there were those who either got the ballot application and filled it out in the name of someone who's dead and sent it in, and it got counted. Now, did they catch some of them? They probably did. I'm looking at a piece written by TheGuardian.org. They were basically, here's the way they titled it, The Dead Voter Conspiracy Theory, peddled by Trump voters, debunked. I'll tell you right away, it's not debunked. They point out a couple things, and so they say that proves all of it's not true. Really? All of it? They had a Students for Trump founder, Ryan Fournier, who declared on social media he had unearthed definitive proof of widespread voter fraud in Detroit. He pointed to an absentee ballot cast by 118-year-old William Bradley, a man who supposedly died in 1984. Now, Fournier put up on his Facebook post, they're trying to steal the election. But it turned out that the deceased Bradley did not vote. His son, William Bradley, but with a different middle name, said, I'm the one that cast the ballot. And that was confirmed by Michigan election officials, who said a clerk had entered the wrong Bradley as having voted. So the belief that the dead guy voted was based upon a clerk mistake. So in that case, all right, that was not a dead person voting. But if you have not updated your rolls and so forth, and that's where many states have failed, you have basically set up an opportunity for fraud. And of course, Trump losers were just supposed to accept. Now, come on, be a good sport. We're always taught good sportsmanship. You lost. You lost, admit you lost, and move on. It's not the matter of losing, it's how you lose. And if you're cheated, you have a hard time swallowing that, right? Is it over at this point? You want my honest, candid response on that? Is it over? Well, let me read first something from Jenna Ellis, one of the attorneys, a Trump legal advisor. She says, and I'm quoting her, "Take heart. This is not over yet." This is her statement, not mine. And she's talking about Republican electors in seven states are casting alternate votes for President Trump, setting up new challenges for Congress when they count the votes next month. Of course, they've been counting the Electoral College. Now all that goes to the Congress, and Congress does it. And critics are claiming, according to Jenna Ellis, those votes are merely symbolic of these seven states with alternate votes for Trump, and they have no force of law. But she points out, no, they have been accepted by Congress before. In 1960, Democrats, are you listening? Democrats successfully cast an alternate set of votes for JFK in Hawaii after that state's governor had certified the electors for Richard Nixon amid a recount. Congress ultimately counted the votes from Kennedy electors from Hawaii. They were signed off by the governor as well. And even though he was not declared the winner in the election until 11 days after Nixon's electors were certified. She's also saying some Americans in some contested states might consider initiating recall petitions, allowing you to recall and replace public officials before their term ends. But it requires, obviously, a large number of signatures. And she said, for now, we're looking at state legislatures. If that branch fails, then it's up to we, the people, to make sure they go through the constitutional process. Is it over? It was a fraud. The answer to that question, was there fraud? Let's hear again from Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky.
You'd think that all of this would be investigated and try to be fixed before the election. So if you have 1,700 people that voted twice, you would think that maybe they need to be charged and maybe not allowed to vote in the next election, or at least one of their votes canceled out. You would think that people who voted illegally from commercial addresses would be purged from the rolls. You'd think that they would check the death file and purge those who had died to make sure that they don't vote. I mean, we're going to hear testimony this morning from Nevada where 1,500 people were deceased and should not have voted, 4,000 people were illegal aliens, and 15,000 people voted from commercial addresses, and you have to vote from a
home
address.
Senator, what are we doing about it?
Well, here's the problem. Courts aren't very good at doing this. They just are very reticent to get involved. And so far, the court has turned down all of these appeals to look at the facts. No court has examined the facts.
Point made. No court has actually examined the facts. They hear a preliminary argument. They hear a preliminary brief. They see preliminary numbers. And they make a ruling at that point. No criminal case would be handled that way if you're going to do it properly. If you're going to charge someone with a crime, the prosecutor is going to present preliminary evidence, and then you're going to continue to gather evidence. And when it comes to the trial date, you better have everything lined up. You got to have everything backed up and substantiated, or the party, if they are guilty, will go free. And if they're not guilty, well, then they get their day in court. The other question is, so if some dead people voted, were there enough of them coming out of the graves to do so that would swing the election? I don't know. I haven't seen that many zombies around. But were people using their ID, their information, and doing it, and old voter rolls and doing it? Because a ballot got sent to this address, and Grandma died a year ago, but I'm going to go and fill it out for her and sign it because it came to her, so I'm going to send it in for her. Were there enough of those votes to actually change the outcome of the election? And double voting. If it's unintentional, I send in an absentee ballot, but I'm so worried about the mail, I want sure my vote counts, so I'm going to go in and turn in, and I'm going to vote, and I assume they will cancel my mail-in ballot when it arrives. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Well, then also, I live in this state, but I also have a residence in Texas. I can go down in Texas and I can vote again. And I know I'm illegally voting. Or I don't even live in this state, but I fly in just in advance of this Georgia election and establish a residency by putting a down payment for a month rent on an apartment, and I get to vote then. I know what I'm doing. The question I ask you and for me, is it over? What is my opinion? I just told you how Jenna Ellis says there are still other avenues, but each one of them is a very rocky, weak, perilous path with numerous hurdles. I mean, when you start talking about recall petitions, I mean, you're talking a massive effort. And that, how are you going to make that happen in time? And so if these Republican electors in seven states cast alternate votes, well, how is Congress going to deal with that? Again, she points out, in 1960, Democrats did it for JFK in Hawaii. So it has been done, and it's been done by the other side. Is it over? I'm going to have to say I think the lady is getting ready to come on stage and sing. Are there still some other little toys and plays that could happen? Yep. The real issue here is that we want to play fair. We want a fair election. Most on the other side also want a fair election. But there are those who don't care about playing fair because they don't like the Constitution anyway. They don't think it's worth its paper it's written on anyway. So why give it even a glance, much less approval and support and following it? We play fair. Many of them don't. China trying to get into our country, grooming candidates. Stand by, please.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's no way that somebody that wants to work in the Biden administration could ever get a security clearance if they have even a fraction of the background of Hunter Biden. And let's face it, he's a drug addict. That's very unfortunate, okay? But he's traveling the world. He's doing drugs. He's got these computers. You know, when we travel overseas, we have to put our real phones in a very secure bag that can't be hacked, and we have burner phones. I doubt he did that. And so, no, I think it's likely that his computers were hacked.
That is Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairman Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, on the Hannity show last night. And he said, I have no doubt that Hunter's phones were tapped and hacked, and so is his computer, which means everything that the New York Post has been reporting and has released so far and the FBI has in its hands, China probably also has. And some other emails have come out recently showing that he had $400,000 he collected from one of the ventures that he didn't put down on his income tax form. And Hunter Biden has admitted he's under investigation for some tax issues, but says, I'll just have to amend the form. There's a difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. You can avoid taxes if you can. If you can do it by law, you can avoid it. Yeah, you don't want to pay if you're going to get around it. That is free, and that's legal, I should say. Tax evasion, however, is you're purposely hiding it, and you intend to hide and defraud all the way. That becomes the crime. But this information, if China has information that they got off these computers and the pictures and so forth, yeah, they could have been grooming Hunter, looking for, we'll get him in if Daddy gets in the White House, or if he doesn't, we've got good access. And Senator Tom Cotton says, as along with Senator Johnson, all these investigations going on, and we're still not getting a clear answer from the Biden family.
Hunter Biden has been under investigation by multiple U.S. attorneys for multiple potential crimes like tax fraud or money laundering, securities fraud, fraud in connection with purchasing a hospital or investing in one with Joe Biden's brother. This is why the Biden family needs to come clean.
You know, the closest they came yesterday in a news conference is not even worth me running it for you, but a reporter, Peter Ducey, I think, for Fox News, shouted out to Joe Biden, do you still have confidence in that Hunter Biden did nothing wrong or something to that effect, and Joe Biden's response was, I'm confident he did nothing wrong. Well, there's a lot of material stacking up that raises big questions. I mean, and again, we had this wire that he apparently had sent at one time, a wire request to a representative in China with this Chinese energy company he was also linking into, and said, translate my letter to the chairman of the organization, and then added, please accept the best wishes from the entire Biden family as well as my partners. And then when it comes to partners, he had recently getting an office space, and I'm going to need several keys from my partners, and he listed the names, and among those as office mates was Joe Biden, along with James Biden, Hunter's uncle, and Joe's brother. We're going to get into this in more detail in the next hour about how China has been grooming and continues to groom politicians for their uses, a Manchurian-type candidate. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to have a little bit of fun because Dr. Jill Stein, should she use the title doctor? Is it being abused, or is it proper? Tucker Carlson had his take. I'll share it with you.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So contrary to what you may have read, Dr. Jill Biden is not a healer. She's not allowed to write prescriptions. She wouldn't know what to do with your appendix. Dr. Jill has an education degree from some school in Delaware, and you're supposed to find that highly impressive. She could be a Surgeon General.
Yeah, that's Tucker Carlson on the Dr. Jill Biden story. Farce, fun, whatever you want to call it. I have a lot of friends who have a doctor after their name in the sense of the degree they have. They are a doctorate in sciences or whatever. And I would sometimes call them that, just partly fun and partly on honor of what they've accomplished. But they don't go around making a big deal of it. Very few of them I know actually put it at the front of their name. And if they do, that's okay. That's acceptable. I mean, it's not doing anything wrong. It does give folks a different impression than you might think of a doctor. Now, all of this started when a Wall Street Journal contributor, Joseph Epstein, wrote a piece titled, Is There a Doctor in the White House? Not if you need an MD. So Epstein was arguing, and Epstein, by the way, in writing this, he's also been a lecturer of English himself in Northwestern University. He's argued that Dr. Jill Biden, who holds two master's degrees and a doctorate in education from the University of Delaware, quote, should think about dropping the honorific, which feels fraudulent, even comic. Now, of course, that's your take and his take. if you are against the Bidens, and maybe you're going to jump on it. If you're a Biden supporter, you're going to stand for it. Now, you have to look in your own circles. How would you treat someone that you consider a friend if someone started attacking them because they did use their title doctor and they're not really a medical doctor? Oh, by the way, let me tell you right now. You do not want to miss our next hour, especially the last segment of the next hour, because we're going to have some real fun with the title of doctor, and that would also include dentist. And remember the Seinfeld episode, the anti-dentite that Kramer blamed Seinfeld? We're going to have some fun with that later, so you want to be here for that as well. But the whole issue, when the Wall Street Journal editorial piece came out, and the paper has defended the article, the column, we have LA Times cultural columnist and critic Mary McNamara rushing to the defense of Dr. Jill Biden, blasting the Wall Street for writing what she called a sexist op-ed about the incoming first lady. But of course, as is pointed out in an article I've got here in front of me, I think this is a Fox News article. Mary McNamara's defense of Jill Biden and claiming it was sexist op-ed about an incoming first lady. You look through her archives, apparently she has issued scorn numerous times and ugly attacks on conservative women from Sarah Sanders to First Lady Melania Trump. But we don't look at that. Don't look at that. And then there's a clip of various media sources, all on the left, of course, when this story started breaking in it. Is she a doctor? Can she use a title? And Whoopi Goldberg even said she should be Surgeon General. She's a great doctor. Now, where would Whoopi Goldberg come up with that? She said she should be Surgeon General. Well, she can make that statement, but then say she, talking about Dr. Jill Biden, she's a great doctor. How would Whoopi know she's, quote, a great doctor? She doesn't. She just expects her minions to follow along with what she said. Well, it blew up in her face when she was correct and said, well, she's not a medical doctor. But Whoopi was making her folks believe she could be Surgeon General and she's a great doctor. And other media were doing their own assault against anyone who would dare question. Just listen to this clip of bites from MSNBC, CNN, and I don't know who all else.
But many are saying what was written about Dr. Jill Biden would have never been written about a man.
An attack on Jill Biden's doctorate that managed to be petty, elitist, and misogynistic all at once.
As numerous professors told the New York Times, the suggestion that Dr. Biden not use the honorific was blatantly sexist and emblematic of the way many men question or disparage women's credentials.
Like, really? It's
Who needs the doctorate?
No, but then do you give it oxygen by talking about it? Do you give it energy? But you do have to bring attention to it and saying this is outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was, I want to say Joy Reid say, do we give it oxygen? Do we keep talking about it? But we can't ignore it. And again, McNamara, who's writing her piece for the LA Times, she's a Pulitzer winning columnist, by the way. She titled her piece, Wall Street Journal, you ran a sexist essay on Jill Biden. Don't tell us to calm down. Well, to get this kind of a degree, you have to do some additional studies, obviously. I mean, they're not just going to – you might get an honorific doctor. I mean, if I were invited to some – you think Harvard? Probably not Harvard. I don't know, West Texas State, where I finished up my degree in political science. I had the BS degree. I had BS. You know that. But anyway, you think if they called me back and gave me an honorary doctorate for making a speech to a graduating class, that I should then go around and say, call me Dr. Larry Connors? Do you think so? And you'd probably look at me and say, yeah, what are you smoking? Well, a lot of people get that kind of honorific degree. But the degree Jill Biden has, you actually had to do some work. You had to put in a dissertation, in part. Well, apparently, Tucker took a look at that doctoral dissertation. I've kind of scanned through it since I saw his remarks. Here's how he puts a spin on how effective and valid and legitimate and basically was it worth a degree with the title doctorate based on the dissertation.
Dr. Jill needs reading glasses. Either that or she's borderline illiterate. There are typos everywhere, including in the first graph of the introduction. Dr. Jill can't write, and she can't really think clearly either. Parts of the dissertation seem to be written in a foreign language using English words. They're essentially pure nonsense, like pig Latin or dogs barking. The whole thing is just incredibly embarrassing. And not simply to poor illiterate Jill Biden, but to the college that considered this crap scholarship. Embarrassing, in fact, to our entire system of higher education, to the nation itself. Jill Biden's doctoral dissertation is our national shame.
You know, I do know many folks who are, quote, highly awarded various degrees and so forth. And they're not really that smart. You probably know some. And I know some folks who don't have any kind of degree like that, and they're much smarter. I'm not just talking about horse sense or common sense. They're just smarter. But if you're doing a dissertation, you turn it in with all these typos, how did that ever get accepted? Why didn't somebody kick it back? And apparently there was a piece in there where Jill Biden, she didn't have the title, in her dissertation was doing some kind of explanation about math and students. Here's how Carlson described it.
On the very first page of Dr. Biden's opus, she describes an average class of students at a community college called Delaware Tech. Of course, she counts the students by their skin color. She's a Biden, after all. But pay close attention to the math. Quote, 3/4 of the class will be Caucasian. 1/4 of the class will be African-American. 1 seat will hold a Latino. And the remaining seats will be filled with students of Asian descent or non-resident aliens. In other words, somehow Dr. Biden accounted for all 5/4 of the class, which actually isn't easy. You've got to pay very close attention to do something like that.
And anyone who signed off on that dissertation with that summary of those numbers and 5/4, they must have been at that famous Mizzou game when, who was it, Oklahoma or Nebraska? They got a fifth play when it should have been over. I mean, some of this stuff, how would it get passed? Well, if you got students that are working on their own grading it or some who are just looking at it, got a name on it, just sign it off. When I used to teach on a regular basis a broadcast class at Broadcast Center, and I was offered a couple times some positions to go to various colleges, whatever, and I appreciate it, but I wanted control of my curriculum. I wasn't going to do what they wanted. I wanted my time frame, and it was going to be a compressed class. Bottom line is, my kids would watch me grading papers because I'm reading some of the stories I had the students write. And I had out a big red pen. I told the students when they started the class, I said, it's going to be pretty easy to grade some of your grades and your writing if you don't pick up pretty fast, because all I do is take a razor blade, hold my wrist over your paper, and there'll be a lot of red on it. And my girls were watching me, and I was often right across it, shallow and bright. And I remember my girls coming, Dad, that is so demeaning. It's so hurtful. I said, well, it's not meant to be demeaning or hurtful. It's meant to teach them, better get better. Was that too tough? Should I not have done that? Well, I could apologize, but it's done. What about Hillary? You think she'd apologize for what she called you? All of you Trumpers, the words she used against you? We'll deal with that and some other items coming up after we finish this break. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me share some stunning numbers for you, and you can be thankful you do not live in Minneapolis. Maybe you have friends and neighbors or family that live there. In 2018, according to the Minneapolis Police Department, violent crimes in Minneapolis, 2018, 3,637. 2019, 4,097, an increase about 400 or 500. In 2020, 5,164. That's almost 1,000 plus increase. At the same time, you've got that city council voting to defund the police, taking $8 million from the police department. Well, now a couple of Minneapolis city council members, they deny they were involved in any defund the police. They voted for it, but we weren't voting to defund. One of them said, I think it's important to name that dismantle does not mean dismantle into nothing. It means dismantling what we currently had to build something new. So riddle me this. If you were getting $1,000 a month and I decide to dismantle your payroll and I take $800 out of it, could I'm going to use it for something different, does that not pretty much defund you? Of course it does. And the city council member was saying, defund is not the framework we ever chose. Are you kidding? I mean, this last June, one of their council members promised the council would, quote, dismantle the department. And of course, now they're getting flack back because of some things went carjackings, violent crime carjackings up considerably. And now they say, well, we weren't really going to get rid of the police, but you took $8 million out, and you're going to put it into violence prevention programs. So that's good. Do that. But don't take it out of the police department. And you really think you're going to send somebody trained in psychotherapy and dog whisper to go out and deal with some violent person on the street? Yeah, they might be a mental case. You don't want to shoot them, obviously. But if they're mental and they're carrying a machete, what are you going to do? Dr. Fauci is complaining. In an interview of the Washington Post, he said, we're having all this spike in all these cases across the nation because he fought the American individualist tradition. And, of course, President Trump's refusal to demand national mandates. Fauci said, and I'm quoting, independent spirit in the United States of people not wanting to comply with public health measures has certainly hurt us a bit. He said there are people in various parts of the country who still believe coronavirus is a hoax. That's fake. I don't know of anybody that believes that, Dr. Fauci. I don't know anybody that believes it's a hoax. They know it's real. They just treat it differently. And they have some friends, relatives have had. I know some have gotten it. Some had bad. I haven't had anybody die of it. But there are those who have. And some, you know, they're suffering right now. It's not a hoax. Don't say it is. But we've been given so many lies and fictitious numbers, we're not sure what the fact is. And that becomes the fake. And when you start fudging numbers around, trying to make us think it's much worse, when the final CDC numbers say, basically, even if you're above age 75, unless you have some compromising health conditions, your survival rate of getting it and surviving is probably 96 to 97% survival rate. Of course, that doesn't mean everybody is going to survive. By the way, with the vaccines coming out, the World Health Organization is now saying, oh, don't think of that vaccine as being a silver bullet. So Hillary Clinton, she's upset because Biden's campaign manager and incoming deputy chief of staff, Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, called Republicans a bunch of effers. I have to correct something right here. I pulled this off quickly, and as I read it the way it was written, it looked to me like Hillary was saying that. I stand corrected. Hillary did not say it. Put it down on the column. Larry was wrong. She was referring to that remark, but she apparently did not say it, at least not in this article. She might have at some point, but I had to say, I am wrong. And I can't hide it in the commercial break. I have to address it right now to you and say, I was wrong. It was the Biden campaign manager and incoming deputy chief of staff, Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, who called Republicans a bunch of effers. She was on ABC News The View, and I guess she decided to do it there, if I'm reading this correctly, as a she was responding to a comment from a Glamour magazine reporter about an interview redefining compromise, saying Biden had rejected the idea he could not work with the GOP, and this incoming deputy chief of staff said, well, in the primary, people would mock him like you think he can work with the Republicans. And O'Malley Dillon is saying, I'm not saying they're not a bunch of effers. Mitch McConnell was terrible. But you couldn't wish for a bipartisan deal with these people. So Hillary did not say it. Shame on me. I'll stand in the corner during this commercial break. When we come back, a closer look at what some are saying, evidence of the Manchurian candidate. Do you know what that is? We'll explain when we continue.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.